Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Today I'm joined by Chris Lee, founder of Sylvester & Finch Limited. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you, Andy?
I'm very, very well. We're going to be talking about influencer relations today.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I always like to do a shout out when guests come on the show multiple times. You were last on the show, drum roll, March 27th, 2012, episode 163. Seems like yesterday, I'll bet, doesn't it, Chris?
Yeah, it does. I was talking to Kelvin at that point, and we were talking mostly about pitching to the media. And I believe the context was because Google was changing the way that it was, you know, dealing with links, et cetera, and having to earn them and make them far more authentic, I guess, and SEO people were trying to understand media relations so they could get coverage, etc. And we've kind of moving on today to talk about bloggers, which we did touch on at that point, but become even more significant.
Fantastic. Well, before we get into that, just remind our listeners a bit about you. Tell us a bit about yourself and a bit about Sylvester & Finch.
Well, I personally have been in tech journalism PR for 18 years, and I don't look it, but the last decade of which has been more digitally focused. I was last on the podcast, as you mentioned, about 4 years ago, and we're talking about pitching media predominantly. Now we're going to talk about more generally about influencers such as bloggers, vloggers, as in video bloggers, and Instagrammers, etc. My consultants, as you mentioned, we're a collection of experienced freelance communications professionals and provide high-level strategic multi-channel communication strategy, training, and copywriting.
Now, influence. Let's start off with a nice definition of influence. What is influence and who are the influencers?
That's a very good question. It's such a kind of almost like a very fluid term that's often used around. It's very loose. We all have influence to some degree. We always have. I mean, we talk about decision making, you know, it goes way back to the market square years ago, like centuries ago, when you would walk around and decide who had the best apples. You'd speak to your friends, you'd make assessment on price, etc., and quality. And then you'd tell other people about that experience. And now the principle's the same, just happens to be online, for example, mainly, and people have tens of thousands of followers. They might have hundreds of thousands of followers. You've kind of seen a celebrity culture, manifest itself online, where people that weren't previously known have managed to to build up a following of people, and people do follow other people, and they try to emulate what they do or just admire what they do, and they listen to what they do, and they make purchases based on what they do as well. So we all have a certain degree of influence, whether that's talking to our friends, whether that's blogging and tweeting, or even leaving in a review on Amazon or TripAdvisor. We all have influence, but some greater degree than others.
I'm just wondering, actually, because it's a big subject, influence and influencers. How do actually, it sounds like a silly question, but how do influences work? That's probably as good a way as putting it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. When we talk about, contextualize what we're talking about here. We're not talking about necessarily media relations as in journalists, okay? Mm. We're talking about people that are publishing on other platforms, that they could be bloggers, like I said, YouTubers, Instagrammers, etc. How do those individuals work? Well, there is a massive difference between team press and bloggers. If you think about the way the media works, they'll be paid for by their news agency or whoever they work for, and they will be kind of professional. They'll have an objective or subjective position depending who the media is. And we see, for example, with Brexit right now, you can see what sides people are taking, for example, in the media debate, and quite quickly reveal their politics. They usually work business hours, there's been trade press especially, best contacted by phone when you're pitching them, and they often follow an editorial style. Whereas if you're talking about bloggers, for example, you're looking at professional and amateur mix. So if you've done really well for yourself, enough to make money, often going through blogger agency, for example, and they're making, then yeah, you can effectively they're professional bloggers, and they were seeing a growing number of these. Some do it on the side and make a bit of money, and some are just kind of amateur, they do it for the love of it. And that's where people like micro influencers come in. So they are not, don't have a huge following, but at the same time, the followers they do have a more authentic connection with them, because they tend to respond to them on Twitter and Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. I could claim to be one of those, because I blog on the side. I have a football culture blog called Outside Right. That's WRITE.
Oh, yeah.
And I get between 5,000 and 10,000 hits a month, which I'm, quite pleased with.
Yeah.
But my interaction with my followers is very much about we're a tribe with the same kind of interest, so to speak. But if I was, being followed by 100,000, 200,000 people, I find it a lot harder to manage those relationships. And it's a sliding scale, really. So there's more authenticity in the micro-influencer space. And you see a lot of PR companies focusing more on that space, and brands in general looking at that space rather than spending big bucks on the big ones. I think people have a lot of understand now as well, that in the public that people are paid to promote things and quite often don't disclose it, which is something we're going to talk about actually later on in this podcast. Disclosure is very, very important. But people understand that influencers are paid by brands to plug things, and they have that sort of sense of perspective when they go into it. But with bloggers, they tend to offer their own opinion. They can work at any time if they've got a full-time job, and then they blog in the evening. They've got to understand when you pitch them by email usually or by social media that's the context, and they'll be more flexible in the style of presentation. You can do some great co-creation with them, which is something brands tend to do a lot of. But it's very much, it all starts with understanding how they work. So that means a lot of research, and that's something we're going to talk about when it comes to identifying influencers.
Yeah, because you describe the landscape of influencers there, the different types of influencer, and the sort of a bit of a sliding scale. So, I was just wondering how to identify and evaluate relevant influencers.
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on the target audience. This is something that often gets forgotten and overlooked. I think the first thing to remember is to understand the target audience and the business objective that you're trying to achieve. And that could be, if you're looking for a business objective, it could be building brand awareness, it could be building advocacy. It could be trying to build your social media following by getting kind of halo effect off well-followed people. But ultimately, you've got to make sure that the target audience of those influencers you're looking to impress yourself upon are actually relevant for a start. There are tools you can use to identify bloggers. It could be a desk-based research. It could be using, social media listening tools to see who's talking about subjects. I think there's great ones like BuzzSumo, SystemOS, BrandWatch. I can name, I'm not saying any particular preference to any particular brand, but I'm just naming that sort of type of tool that can help you identify. There's also companies like Tracker and Analytica, Gorkana. These are media lists that PR industry people use that put them all together. Anyway, but if you don't have the money for those, because they are quite expensive, then desk-based research is the way forward. So once you've kind of identified, okay, well, these people talk about this, and it seems they have a good following, and let's have a look at their social media following, then you'd look at other metrics of influence. So you can use tools such as SimilarWeb or to understand what kind of traffic they get at their website. You can always ask them what kind of traffic they get on the website. you know, they may or may not be accurate with that. They could always, you've asked for a screen grab of their, you know, data to see if they, you know, when you start working, see what kind of genuine kind of hit rates they have. So it's kind of, you know, there's lots of ways to understand how much traction people have got really in the market. And then once you've kind of built that up, the question is understanding how you're going to pitch to these people and how you're going to manage that. And you need to sort of have a really good spreadsheet eventually that you're going to build up. We can talk about that when we kind of talk about building long-term relationships.
Okay, so what about actually approaching, because you're going to have to speak to these influencers at some point. How do you sort of pitch to them and build a sort of, you know, long-term ongoing relationship?
Well, that's a very good question, because we see a lot of people actually talking about influencer relations. They talk about the benefits of doing it, but they don't actually go to that extra level and say, how do you pitch to them? So one, you'll be able to be clear on that business objective and be really clear with that influencer on how, you know, what you want to get out of it, really, because it's got to be a value exchange for both you and them. So being clear on those business objectives, understanding whether you're going to be pitching them directly individually, or if they're working through an agent whose whole job is to keep the bad offers away and let them focus on what they do best, which is influencing and creating great content. When you're pitching, obviously you've got to read the journal, understand who the audience is, search for your brand and competitor, be clear on what you want out of the relationship, personalize the approach, which is what people forget. I mean, quite often I get, as I said, I have a football travel culture blog. I'm quite clear about what I write about. It's the off-pitch experience, the history of the game, etc. It's nothing to do with what's happening on the pitch. But somehow I've ended up on these lifestyle things and lists, and I get invited to Greek restaurants, etc. launch cocktail parties. It sounds great, but I'm not going to go. So you know, get called like Dear Blogger and things like that. Hi there. They obviously haven't gone and looked at my about page and actually tried a personalized approach. So understand how the influencer works. Build a database, check them out on social media, see what they look like, because they quite often you'll find PR agencies being called out by influencers you know, on social media, and they've had a bad approach, they will name and shame. So see what they're like. If they're, you know, look quite volatile, maybe might be better off steering clear of them and focusing on someone else. Offer exclusive content, that always works. Bear in mind that it's all about their audience. If they don't have an audience, they don't have you know, don't have a publication, they don't have a way of making money. So it's kind of, that's what you want, exclusive content. No one else has got it. What can you offer them? And definitely when you've got that content, like I said, when you're analyzing the metrics, see if you can get any data from them on how successful that was in terms of, you know, hits, etc. And thank and share them for the coverage on social networks. You've got to ensure you have full disclosure, and that could be anything from when they're tweeting, they're actually saying spawn or ad or something like that, or when they're on the blog. I know that Google's come up with some guidelines recently, as has the Advertising Standards Agency as well, on how these things need to be handled. And that could, I know Google said, you know, no follow links, etc., and full disclosure, say what you got, you know. So I was taken to, thank you for to Company X for taking me on that trip to Florence, whoever it happened to be, you know, or this was brought to you by X. So then you're not pulling the wool over anyone's eyes. No one feels robbed. Everyone's, you know, fully transparent what you got out of that. And then after that, yeah, just basically don't waste the time. Don't spam anyone. Try and put yourself on their shoes, and don't ask if you can proof the content before it goes out, unless you're co-creating with them. Because if they're going to have to be honest about something, and quite often they'll be nice if you're, you know, paying for them, but you want to sort of an honest review really of something. So
yeah. Once you've sort of been working with them for a while, Chris, what's the best way of evaluating the results? It sounds like quite sort of cold and businessy, but you do have to sort of work out if it's working, don't you?
Exactly. And if you don't, then, I mean, you'll have no idea as to how much bang you've got for your buck, to use that horrible cliche. But there's kind of macro metrics and micro metrics. So a micro metric on a kind of per piece of content level, what was the reach, what was the engagement like, and look at other metrics like views or downloads, if that's relevant, what kind of attention it got in terms of, you know, dwell time, bounce rate, all those sort of things, and social metrics in terms of, did you get any new followers off the back of it? You can other even, you know, on the longer term macro metrics, look at how your blogger campaigns have, how much traffic they're providing for you, referral traffic, how the quality of that traffic in terms of how long, you know, how many pages they're going to, are they signing up, did your community grow, can you look at Google Trends and see searches for various you know, things that you've been trying to talk about go up, i.e. are you getting into the sort of, you know, public consciousness, email sign up, sales, all the bigger sort of, you know, macro metrics that you're looking at, and ultimately could be even behavioral change if you're kind of, you know, working in a space that's trying to change the way people think about and act about things. Keep it on a spreadsheet though, whatever you do, because you could you know, it depends who you're targeting, but you need to obviously know things about them, such as their contact details, when you were last in touch, the domain authority of that site, average visited month, have they covered you before, have they covered the competition, what was the context of that, so you don't basically end up, you know, two people from the same team contacting them because twice, which does happen, it's very annoying. And it depends what other information you need to know about them. So I've, you know, been previous guys, I've done outreach for computer games companies, so you need to know what kind of console people have got, you know, that sort of thing. It's all very important. So you kind of, there are ways of finding that out, either by asking them directly or just looking over their previous social media, really, and then you can target your approach accordingly.
You know, it's interesting because you mentioned that you yourself were I think you described yourself as a micro blogger, which of course isn't a very small person. It's just you are normal size. I was just wondering, actually, your experience is actually being a blogger, being potentially an influencer. What is the what would the top tip be that you could give to someone managing, you know, that relationship? What's the most annoying thing you've come across? May have alluded to it before, but I was just wondering.
Yeah. It's the quality of pitch. I mean, the thing is, I think this is where a PR background comes in really handy. And this is my issue when you've got content agencies and creative agencies talking about influencers. It's like you have to have a good media relations background, really, or it does help anyway. You don't have to have it, but it helps. There's good pitches and there's bad pitches, and the bad pitch will have, or, you know, be a shouty sort of just spammy press release, hi there, I know, you know, and something irrelevant, and it's a waste of time and immediately gets junked or deleted, and sometimes outed, like I said. But a good pitch will be helpful, it'll be useful, the subject will be will grip me, will address me by my name, it will maybe refer to a story I recently wrote, in which case they want to build upon that, so, you know, and then give me something unique, and then make the business case for it. So what kind of content are we going to get out of this? Is it going to be a podcast? Is it going to be a video? Is it going to be, you know, something that's going to make, you know, a value exchange for both parties? It's going to make me look good, entertain my audience, and it's also going to help that brand get into a new audience with a bit of an authentic kind of, you know, brand awareness, really, to them. And then it's got to finish with a call to action in terms of, you know, what I should be doing next. So I think just basically keep your powder dry as well. Don't, you know, if you've got a business, you've done well with a blogger once, don't expect them to cover you over and over again. Try and rotate them, because they're not going to cover you straight away. Otherwise, it's kind of like advertising. I mean, you know, I don't know how often that could be. It depends how many you've got. It could be every 6 months, every year, whatever. Just do something exclusive with them and rotate the 20 odd, you know, key influencers that you've got. And by the way, and we're talking about keeping spreadsheets, influencers change, right? Because some grow and you know, become extremely influential, maybe even get jobs in the media, elsewhere in the media. Some drop out altogether, lose their mojo, and that's it. And others can morph. I know people that have been travel bloggers, then suddenly became parent bloggers. And so the types of brands that are talking to them, they took an audience with them. Some of the audience were only interested in them in their travel, so they probably drop off, and a new tribe of parent bloggers come, and parents come in as their followers, so new brands will be interested in them. So you've got to keep an eye on them throughout their career, really.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for coming on. It is a fascinating area, this whole sort of area of influencers and building a relationship with influencers. Just tell our audience how they can sort of find out more about you and more about Sylvester and Finch.
Well, I am on Twitter personally as @CMRLee, that's LEE, or @SylFinch is the agency handle, and then sylvesterandfinch.co.uk is where you can find out more about our training, consultancy and copywriting.
Thanks a lot, Chris. And thank you for listening, listeners. The show notes are in the normal place, sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast. If you want to connect with me personally, I'm a Dr. Pod, DocTorPod on Twitter and LinkedIn. If you can, just mention the podcast when you link up with me. And also, we're looking for some questions and answers. So if you want to email us, it's podcast@sitevisibility.com. Or if you want to phone the magic telephone line, it's +44 127 3256150, and we can get your questions and comments on the show. And that's it. That's it from me. That's it from Chris.
Goodbye, everyone.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.